Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit He is mighty where the Spirit of my There is freedom.
Healing showers of mercy and praise, and it's falling on every face. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. It's raining showers of mercy and grace. Now it's falling on every face. There is freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom. You, Lord, be magnified, O Father. Be magnified in our worship. Be magnified in our praise. We adore you. Magnificent Father, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Be exalted in our midst. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Father, in the name of Jesus. Be magnified in our praise. Magnified, oh, be magnified, Lord. Oh, we worship you, we magnify you, Lord. Oh, be magnified. Arise, mighty God of war. Take the battle to the enemy. Show forth your glory, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. You're the God of victory, God triumphant. Oh, arise, O God. Show forth your power, Lord. Show forth your glory. Do great and mighty things all over the earth. Show forth your glory, Lord. We magnify you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify in the praises of your people. inhabit our praise, O God. Hallelujah. There is nothing you can do. There is no power that can challenge you. You are the awesome God. Oh, we magnify your name. Blessed be the name of the Most High God, worthy of all praise, worthy of all worship. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. Show forth your glory, Lord. We celebrate you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God of war, oh, show forth your power. We give you praise, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. You are Lord, and every knee shall bow before you. Blessed be your name, and every tongue shall confess that you, Lord, are the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be magnified, O God, in our praise. We come before you with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you've routed every enemy. You've cut down every grove. You've demolished every coven. Your name is exalted on high. Thank you, Lord, O God, that the abode of the enemy is all demolished. Lord, O God, their strongholds demolished, because your name is above every other name. Thank you, Lord, for the release of all captives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Yes, all the time God is good. Thank you. This morning I shared with us about no enchantments or divinations. Can take any kind of effect in our lives. We talked about the fire of God in us that tolerates no nonsense. Every stronghold of the enemy must come down, and every agent of darkness is served notice that the days of tolerating their actions and their activities is over, because Jesus is Lord. Amen? And he paid a price for my soul and for the souls of men and women everywhere. He didn't die for people so that the devil can ransack their lives and make useless their lives. He died to save people, deliver them from every activity of the evil one. And tonight I want to share from the Word of God. Excuse me while I take a quick drink here. I'm a little bit thirsty tonight. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for God? Nothing. In the book of Isaiah chapter 18, or Genesis rather, Genesis 18 and verse 14, Genesis 18. God asked a question. He had been promising Abraham a son for years. He's been telling Abraham, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. But nothing changed. Absolutely nothing changed. It was as if God hadn't said anything. It was as if God said something, God had been busy lying. Because Sarah was still barren. At a particular point, Sarah convinced the husband to take their maid and see if anything will happen that way. One of the things we talked about this morning was if you begin to compromise and twist the word of God, God will come into agreement with you. It wasn't God's will. But God said, if that's what you want to do, it's okay. Do what your wife said. It's not every time that God says yes that he means yes. Not when you know that he said something different before. Sometimes, as the word of God says in Ezekiel 14, he says, I will speak, if you ask me a question like that, and you've got God's idols in your heart, I will answer you myself through those idols. And after I answer you with those idols, I will take you out. No, he won't do that. There was a prophet called Balaam. Balak came to him, another king came to him and said, please, I want you to come curse a certain group of people for me. And Balaam says, let me go check with God. And he goes and he asks God, God, should I go? God said, no, don't go. Those are my people. Don't go there. Don't go there. So he comes in the morning and tells the guys, I can't go. God says, no. They leave. And Balak sends another high class to him. No. Now Balaam sends the biggest class of people, dignitaries. They came and offered him lots of money. Balaam says, I told you I can't go, but just hang around. Let me go check with God. And he went and checked with God. God says, go. So the next day, he says, I'm going to go, but I'm only going to say what God says. Nothing but what God says. I'm going with you. So he mounts on his donkey, his ass, and he begins to go. And on his way going, an angel of God came and tried to kill him. And his donkey, his ass, begins to duck and smashes his foot against the wall. And Balaam is so upset and he starts whooping the animal. And the animal starts talking. And Balaam starts talking to his animal. He didn't find it strange that his donkey is busy talking. But the strangest thing is that the anointed man who has been riding on an ass, the anointing has transferred from him, the prophet, to his ass. And his ass is seeing angels, and the prophet cannot see. That's the amazing thing, that sometimes people lose sight and everybody else can see. This is the right thing to do. Well, I heard from God. No, you didn't hear from God the right way. Your idols are speaking to you. So Abraham goes into Hagar, and Hagar has a son called Ishmael. And the problem that started some 4,000 or so years ago is still with us today. The Middle East is totally disrupted because of the battle of the sons. Wow. Anyway, Abraham is separated from his, I guess you might call him a cousin or whatever. And the Bible says that he left, he chose the plush property. I'm cutting a lot of stories out, making the assumption that you know some of these scriptures already. And he chooses a plush land. And the Bible says that Abraham, or rather Lot, was outside Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the time this passage of scripture shows up, the Bible tells us that Lot was inside Gomorrah. Because once you begin to take that slippery slope step, you keep on sliding. That's why every decision we make must be based on truth and knowing the line, where the line is. And don't try to get close to the line. Stay away from the line. Because when you get to the line, it's just one step and you've crossed the line. Now you're in a totally different territory. Lot is inside Sodom. And they are creating so much confusion that the evil that they are doing hits the highest heavens. And the Bible says God came to see what's happening. And he was going to judge Sodom. But while he comes there, the Bible says he comes by where Abraham was. And Abraham sees them afar off. And he comes and he connects with them and begins to minister to them, offers them offerings, food, and whatever else. In the end of it, the Lord says, I'm not no longer making you a promise. This is when it's going to happen. At the fullness of time, I myself. It's incredible. I'm going to visit Sarah. She's going to have a baby. And Sarah laughs. And God asks this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Yes, it seems like it's been impossible for so long. Looks like this promise will never happen. Is there anything hard? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. At the appointed, there's an appointed time. And I'm going to come at the appointed time. And Sarah is going to have a son. Is there anything too hard for me? Verse 15 says, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. Because God says, why are you laughing? Did I say something funny? Oh, I didn't laugh. He says, for she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. I know you laugh. Stop lying to me. You laughed. But you're going to have a son. Because I am going to visit you. You see, when it is impossible, God puts himself into that position, because with him, nothing is impossible. Amen? With man, things can be impossible. But when he personally gets involved, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. You see, so God, I don't know if you're ready for this. I know I've shared this before, but maybe some of you have not heard me share this before. God himself, just like he did with Jesus, God himself came into Sarah and became the Isaac. That's why he was able to ask Abraham for Isaac to be sacrificed. Because this became a type. This was an impossible situation. There was no way for it to happen. But God said, I am going to make it happen. If it means me coming down and getting into that womb, I will do it to make certain that my word comes true. I don't know what situation you may be facing in your life, but whatever it is, there is a God who knows no impossibilities. He will do whatever it takes to make certain that what he said happens, just like he said. It may take time, but there is always the end to the delay, no matter what. When it was time for John the Baptist to be born and Zechariah was busy mouthing off in the wrong way, God shut his mouth up. Shut up. You're not going to stop what I'm going to do. I say in the name of Jesus Christ that whatever will try to cause you and I to say the wrong thing, that God will cut that part off so that he will fulfill what he said. He's still God. And he's not a joker. When he comes around and says, I'm going to do this now, everything clear out of the way. Because if you are in the way, you are going to be bulldozed out of the way. Hallelujah. So let everything that has ears and those that do not have ears hear whichever way they need to hear. You are served notice right now. God is on the move, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do in my life. Do for this people. Do for everyone who's listening to me, who has been waiting for the manifestation of the word of God. God will do his thing. Praise the Lord. There's nothing too hard for God. And sure enough, Isaac was born. Amen. Isaac was born. And sure enough, John the Baptist was born. There is no stopping of God when he's on the move. Praise the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, it says, our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Praise God. A man of God that has gone home to be with the Lord now shares a testimony. Actually, I played a segment of the video to us during our last conference. R.W. Schambach shares a word about a man that was born that had no eyeballs. It's Von that way. No eyeballs. And so he had a glass eye put in. And God said that the blind were receiving sight. And the guy started seeing through his glass eye. So they popped the glass eye out. And the guy was still seeing without the glass eye. Nothing too hard for God. We are, you know, there's so many things God has done in the past that we've not experienced for whatever the reasons are. But we are going to experience again in a powerful way. Praise the Lord. God is going to do a new thing in our day. Praise God. Supernaturally. Have you ever heard of a person, they call it phantom limbs? The foot is cut off, but their toe is itching. Heard of that? Why do you think it happens? They say it's because the brain is still reading the information. Nah, it's not the brain reading any. If the foot is cut off, the brain has no nervous system running down to that missing aspect. But do you want to know what's really happening? What's really happening is the person still has a leg that has not been made manifest from the heavenlies into the earth realm. So it is a matter of manifestation. He has a leg because God doesn't want any amputee. So he's provided the spare parts. But the spare part is not manifested in the earth. But what is going to happen in days to come is there is going to be the manifestation of those things which we cannot see with our natural eyes. It will be made manifest. In fact, after this November meetings, the next one that we're having is called Be Manifest. We are going to see manifestations. You're going to see things. Child of God, you're not only going to see the good things, you're going to see the bad things around you and deal with them. Say, that's why I saw you. Fool around with me. The devil's been running around doing crazy things, and we had no view because he was traveling at a particular speed. It was invisible to our natural eyes. But we're not just going to move by our natural eyes anymore. We're going to move by our supernatural eyes. We'll see. Praise the Lord. Nothing too hard for God. We need to prepare ourselves not to be spooked by what we see. Amen? Praise God. You know, you may not have practiced medicine, but you know, when I was in school, in biology, they will draw the diagram of a man's body, and they will have arrows that point out and tell you what that particular part of, that's a spleen, diaphragm, tibia, clavicle. See what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. As God opens us into the realm of the supernatural, in a deeper level, you are not a doctor, but you're going to be reading. As you see the person like this, you see right through their body. And you see the arrow that points out so that, you know, your ignorant mind will not be ignorant. You will see what the name of it is. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Things are about to start happening. Not only in this house, but in every house of God. Amen? God will have a people that are not ignorant to the devices of the enemy. They see everything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Peter says to Paul and to Ananias and Sapphira, why did you come here to lie to the Holy Ghost? Before you sold our property, wasn't it yours? Why did you come here to tell me all kinds of funny stories? Why? What's that? You say, what are you saying? I'm saying you'll be able to, by the Spirit, know the truth. The Word of God says, little ones, you know all things. We've not been in that place where we know all things. But God says in 1 John, you know all things, my little ones. You know all things. Everything. You know it. Because the knower is going to be moving in us without restraint. My spiritual father used to say, take the mask off. The mask is coming off. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said the mask is coming off. We're going to see clearly. We're going to know very precisely. No guess game. This is what God is saying. The mask is coming off. Hallelujah. And God is going to manifest His glory in His church. Are you part of the church? Then this is true for you too. Is anything too hard for God? No. Later on in that particular passage, he says, I am God. Nothing is too hard for me. He answers his own question. There's nothing too hard for me. I'm God. Just behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No. No. There is nothing. And He wants to prove it in our days and our times. There's nothing. Somebody said, there's nothing too hard for my God to do. In the stream of that thought, the God who says there's nothing too hard for Him to do says that God cannot lie. If He can't lie, then there must be something He can't do. Now, look at it differently. What God means when He says God cannot lie is this. If God says that these green chairs, olive-colored chairs, are white chairs, as soon as God says the chairs are white, all the green chairs right here become white. Because God said. Can you capisce? He cannot lie, because what He says is what it is. It doesn't matter whatever it was before. When God looked at me and I was a sinner, He said, a saint, born again. Guess what happened? I got born again. I became a saint. That makes the devil real mad, but it doesn't matter. What God says is what God said. If God be for me, who can be against me? What? You've heard me say this before. In Nigeria, we say, who born monkey? Nothing. God has qualified you as His. You belong to nobody else. Hallelujah. God is for me. And because He's for me, nothing can be against me. Praise God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, He says that God blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Whatever ordinance, whatever laws, whatever kind of legislative whatever that has been placed to block, to hinder us, He says He blotted it out. All handwritings, all documentations of the enemy, of ordinances against us, were blotted out, which were contrary to us, and He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Everything that was contrary to my well-being, taken away. Hallelujah. Took it away. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Those ordinances were those things that gave legal rights to the enemy to have control over my life. It gave the enemy the right of access. Well, you did such and such and such, and because of this must happen in your life. Your great-grandparents sacrificed to this idol and sacrificed to these demons, and they committed all of their children to be controlled by that spirit. That's an ordinance written against me. They sacrifice in that altar. And those of you, you're looking at me and saying, I don't think my parents did that. Let me tell you something. If you're white, you came from a pagan race. Every one of us were devil worshippers. Doesn't matter where you come from Iran, Iraq, who have the people serving Baal and Ashtoreth? Did you know that they found out in the DNA of white folks in Britain that they were cannibals? You don't just become a cannibal anyhow. You're devil worshippers, just like everybody else. So, well, I'm from the American native people. Oh, yes. Tell me that your parents didn't serve all kinds of crazy stuff. We all have served all kinds. And altars have been built all around the world. And there are things that have been done. You didn't do it. But your fathers, generations ago did things, and those things have continued to repeat themselves. And the one way that those devilish activities come into your life is through the act of sexual immorality. So if you've fornicated with anybody, you've carried somebody's altar and issues because you became one with them. So I'm talking to everyone. Don't say, well, I come from a very educated, classic family. Hallelujah. We drink tea at noon. You too. you too. I'm talking to you. Doesn't matter where you are, what country you come from. I'm Polish, I'm Ukrainian, I'm German. Oh, yeah.
all of us. There are things that have been written, things that have been done, commitments and sacrifices that have been poured out to demons that gave them right and access to our lives. But Jesus, hallelujah, came and blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. Say, yes, you think you've got a right? I tear the document. Where is your right now? He blotted it all out, nailed it to the cross. And when his blood was shed, it was wiping off every debt, everything that tied me to devilish things, that gave the devil right to access my life, access my finances, access my children, access my finances, access my relationships, access the whatever it is that I'm doing. Jesus paid the full price, and he blotted out. He made the handwriting inconsequential. Doesn't matter anymore. I say, holy. Holy. Forgiven. Price paid for. You no longer have any rights to their lives. Therefore, this night, by the authority of the Word of God, I speak over every life and declare that every mountain, every altar, everything that is contrary to your well-being, contrary to your spirit, contrary to your soul, contrary to your life, by the authority of the everlasting Word of God, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the activity that he established and instituted on the cross of Calvary and by his resurrection, that those walls, those altars are crushed and everything in it destroyed, every document against your life, against your children, against your family is wiped off this day by the authority of the Word of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, be free and be freed indeed. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. Praise the Lord. The Word of God says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, Isaiah 49, I'm going to read from verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Don't fool yourself. The devil is powerful. But it's not as powerful as our Lord. They don't compare. Hallelujah. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Who is the lawful captive? Person that for whatever reason did something that we have no other way to say they're guilty. They are guilty. Did you do this? Yes. Did you do that? Yes. To jail you go. That's a lawful captive. Mama and I were driving home this afternoon after the service. And I've not seen this before. You know, it's Halloween and people have their ghosts and they have their skeletons and they have their pumpkins. I was wondering what pumpkin has to do with it. I'm going to research on it, find out what the pumpkin is all about. Anyway, they have these pumpkins that they carve and do all kinds of stuff and so on and so forth. But today, I've never seen this all these years that I've been in North America. I saw somebody hanging up a cage. A cage. What do you use cages for? To trap and keep. I said, look at these people. Inspired. And then that person, when they are caged in their lives, are going to be wondering, I don't know why I can't get ahead in life. I've been trying so hard. You represented your imprisonment. And when death is ravaging your family, you forget that you were the one busy every time putting skeletons in your house. Representing death. Those are lawful captives. People who go and they start playing with Ouija boards and playing with all kinds of crazy stuff, practicing necromancy and stuff like that, and they are now in bondage. They are lawful captives. You go in there and aborting every child that you had a chance to have. You've aborted 5, 6, 7, 8. Now you're married. Now you want to have children and your womb is all messed up. You're lawful captive. There are things that people do that make them lawful captives. But God says, I don't care whether you're a lawful captive. I'm coming to free you. Hallelujah. That's the good news. That God says, even though they are lawful captives, they can be delivered. But thus said the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. They might be mighty, but I am the Almighty. Hallelujah. I'm going to come and I'm going to take those lawful captives away. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee. You see, there are forces that are contending with you day in, day out. Battling with you and making certain that you don't get ahead in life. And God says, I'm going to take this one on. Sit down. Let me take this one off. Hallelujah. You've been in this state for too long. I declare by the authority of the word of God, changes are here to stay. Amen. That whatever the enemy has blackmailed your life with must stop now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. What does that mean? It means that this thing that is happening with you is not going to go on to the next generation. Oh, glory. It is not going to go to the next generation. We are stopping it with you right here, right now. I'm finishing it and canceling it, and this is not going to happen to the next generation. They are not going to carry this lawful captivity into the next generation, this drug addiction into the next generation, no, this drunkenness into the next generation, this immorality into that next generation, this poverty, this lack into the... No, we're stopping it now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The next generation must not suffer what we're suffering. They must walk in the divine grace and favor of the living God. Praise the Lord. Yes, I do understand, you know, sometimes for people to be tough and hard, they have to have challenges and so on and so forth. That's in the natural. I don't think we are going to become bad when we get to heaven or to the new Jerusalem or to the new earth. Oh, there's no devil tempting them anymore. Now they're going to be bad. They're going to become soft. No. God is not soft. He's almighty. It is not bad that makes us strong. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is the word of God. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord, that's my strength. Amen. It's not bad stuff. I don't need bad stuff happening in my life to make me a better person. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the lie of the devil. Do we embrace the word of the Lord? Verse 26 says, he says, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. I'm going to turn the tables around. These guys, these things want to eat, I'll feed them with their own flesh. Eat yourself. Hallelujah. And they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Word of God says, whose report are you going to believe? Yeah? Whose report are you going to believe? We're going to either believe the report of the Lord or the report of the world. Thank God for doctors and the amazing things that they do, but they are not the final word. I had a doctor here, used to worship here now and then. And I was preaching many years ago, and I made that same comment. And as soon as I made that comment, the Lord said to me, he said, she's not going to come back to church. I said, why? Because of what you just said. So I said it again. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be intimidated by your thoughts. Because the reality sometimes is, while I'm ministering the word of God, I'm picking on what you're thinking. And that's why sometimes you think, I was just thinking that, and you just said that, oh my God, what's happening? I was just thinking that question, and bang, the answer. Well, doctors, great as they are not the final word. God has the final say. Amen? Yes, it is true. You go to the doctor and the doctor checks you out and says, you've got cancer, you've got diabetes, you've got high blood pressure, you've got whatever disease. It doesn't mean that what they said is not the truth. All it means is this, they don't have the final say. Because as true as whatever their diagnosis might be, there is a prognosis from God that declares, yes, that may be true, but blotted out. Hallelujah. Blotted out. No, that's not your story. Yeah. I don't know who this is, but I'm hearing it from the Lord. Somebody that's going to hear this message today. We're married. You had children, and that marriage is done with. But during that first marriage, you removed your womb because you thought, I'm not going to have a child anymore. Now you're married again. And you really want to have a child with this husband. And you're regretting the fact that you took your womb out. But God is saying, the answer is not adoption. The answer is you having a child. And you're going to have a child because He, God, is going to bless you with a child in this new relationship. Fret not. Don't worry about it. You're going to have the baby. How God does what God does, it's not your concern. But receive the word of the Lord and know that He will give you another and another and another. Three. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And your age is not the factor. Father, we give you praise for your word. Thank you that your word is true. It's nothing too hard for you. You are going to be personally involved in bringing about the miracles that your people need in their lives. Whether they deserve it or don't deserve it, it's no longer the issue. The ruling factor is that you have blotted out all their mistakes, all their sins, their transgressions and iniquities, and you're giving to your people a fresh start, a new beginning. We receive your supernatural provision, and we thank you that your promises are yes and amen. Do your thing, O Father. We celebrate you with thanksgiving. We say yes to your word, yes to your will, yes to your purposes. Be magnified, O God, in our worship and adoration. This is our declaration of faith. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for every one of you that have come tonight to receive the word of the Lord. Pray that the word of God energizes you in your spirit and that your strength is focus and establish as you draw on God's ability made manifest in you. Before we leave tonight, I'd like to remind you about the conference that we have coming up. This new month starting tomorrow. I believe it's the 27th to the 29th. I'd like to show you the promo on it. It's called Fresh Oil, New Wine. And our guest speaker, keynote speaker, is going to be Dr. Felix Omobode, a great man of God. He's going to be speaking to us during this conference. And of course, Mama and I will be ministering to you also during this conference. Amen. God bless you. Listen to the promo. Praise the Lord. So please mark those dates, November 28th to the 30th, on your calendar, and begin now to pray for that fresh oil and new wine. Amen? God is taking us step by step by step, and it's taken us, and it's all going to be wrapped up this December for this year with Be Manifest, the Be Manifest Conference. And that's going to be an intensive with the Lord. And then starting on the 31st, right through to January 31st, we're going to have a whole month long, every day, of meetings with well over 15 or plus speakers, just like we did in 2020. And if you appreciated the month-long meetings in 2020, praise the Lord. We are going to give our first fruits to the Lord. Amen. The first month, we're going to turn it over to the Lord. Say, God, take a hold of this month or this year. And great things are just going to happen. We have much to give God thanks for. You know, it's 2019 or whatever it was. Till now, we can celebrate the goodness of God. God has kept us from this deadly virus. He gave us the key. Well back in either, I think it was January. Yeah, I think it was in January. When he gave us this word, that my body is not conducive to the multiplication of viruses. And we began to embrace that word. I am certain that for some of us, if you go and check yourself, you'll find out that you have antibodies. But you never got sick because it came, touched you, and died. And you are immune. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we give God praise for what He has done for us, how He has provided for us. We celebrate His goodness. And I celebrate His faithfulness in all of our lives. This time, please honor God with your giving. Those of you online, do the same. And good night. Love you and celebrate you with thanksgiving.